All right. Welcome to episode 78 of The Sedated Man, Being Stuck as a Christian Man. So, here's an interesting thing. I typed in Christian Man to Google. And what did I get? Well, I got a ton of links for how to attract a Christian man, how to find a Christian man, how to be attractive to a Christian man. And it was very interesting to me that none of them were men looking for answers. So then I looked up, being a better Christian man. And then I got a lot of, five verses to help you or 10 tools to help you be a better Christian man. What's interesting to me is that the initial search for Christian men came up with looking for Christian men, which tells me there's a shortage. There's a shortage of men who are actually giving off the vibe or showing in their life that they're dedicated to God. And women, Christian women, faith-based women are looking for that. Okay. So title of this episode, obviously, is Being Stuck as a Christian Man. You know, I hesitated to even do this one because this is something I struggle with. But, I don't ever want to give the impression to you guys that I've got everything figured out because I don't. I struggle. I am not nearly where I want to be. I'm so far back from where I want to be right now. I can't even tell you. I'm our business is a huge financial draw. I do a job, or I have a job, a 9-to-5 job, which most definitely hinders my ability to really produce in my business. My wife is doing stuff, in the business also, but she does it all the time, but it's learning a new skill, learning a new demographic, learning the things we need to learn for online businesses is tremendous. Okay. But we've met a ton of great people. We've had some really positive things. We're part of a great community. We've met people who we would have never met on the journey we were on already. We have expanded our horizons tremendously. And I'm not talking about, having weird ideas. I'm talking about finding our own potential. We have learned so much about ourselves, but it doesn't change a struggle. It can help. And there have definitely been benefits, but what do you do? I have two projects going right now. All right. This podcast is one of my projects. Do I have huge listenership? No. When I originally started this podcast, it was as a legacy to my sons, my grandkids, my great grandkids, my great, great, great. I wanted to leave something behind that if they ever thought, what did Grandpa Mike think? How did this family start out? Because some of you are like, well, Mike, what did your dad think? It doesn't matter what my dad thought. My dad was an alcoholic. He died at the age of 49 of a major heart attack, and he wasn't a good dad. So my wife and I made the decision at that point that we were restarting, that the Baker name was no longer going to be this horrible thing. It was going to be a great thing to have. It was going to be something our kids would be proud to have. And we went on to have raise five boys. We went on to have now three grandsons and a granddaughter. And this podcast is one of those legacies I want to leave behind so that there is never a doubt about where this family started, where its core came from, so that if any of my lineage ever wanders or ever needs an answer or they can't answer something for their kids because they've been so away from where they should be, these are here to help guide them. Not that I'm trying to create my own scripture, but that I'm trying to give them the base, that I'm trying to give them the ideas. Now with that, okay, comes, I don't have huge numbers, but then I didn't start this for huge numbers. But at the same time, my view on this podcast has changed as I've done it, in the fact that I want to impact the world, not because I'm arrogant, but because I see that men are struggling everywhere. I see that it has become harder and harder to put yourself out there as a Christian male in public. Although for some of us, it's not difficult. For many, it is, because they weren't raised with the tools to do so. I mean, you've got this big argument between Generation X and the millennials and their kids. And I think they're Generation Z. Don't quote me on that. Why is there this huge conflict? Both Generation X and millennials, they wanted the same things. Generation X had dreams and goals. They wanted to change the world. But in order to change the world, we still had bills to pay. And then we became consumed in paying those bills and we forgot where we were going. Millennials saw that and they were like, hey, we want to change the world. But we see that mom and dad got stuck in it. And so we don't want that. And so now we as Generation X are looking, going, how can I accomplish my goals? I never met them. I never went after them. And now maybe you want to. Now maybe you see that it's possible. Now maybe you feel compelled. But the kids, the millennials and their kids are stuck at the, well, I'm not going to kill myself working at something I hate like my parents. I'm going to find that thing that's going to change the world initially. And now they've become stuck. The same way we're stuck. I am Generation X. But the same way that we're stuck, they're stuck, only they're stuck on the front end, we're stuck on the back end. But we both want to change the world. I'll tell you what, you put a millennial to something that he feels passionate about, and that guy will outwork everyone around him. I've seen it. The same with their kids. But we who want to complain about millennials at the same time are the ones who raise those kids. Now, I did not raise my sons that way. I wanted them to understand work. I wanted them. I was not a helicopter parent. I expected them to step up. The saying, you guys have heard me say it, the saying amongst my boys was, we're raising men, not boys. Men, not boys. Son, what are we raising? Men, not boys. That was the response. So what's this have to do with being stuck? Well, here I am. I have this project. I also have another project called Mormon Success Secrets. Now, I am not LDS. I am not Mormon. However, I have noticed the thread amongst Mormon men that they are typically more successful than their non-Mormon faith-based counterparts. Now, I'm not going to go into details here. If you're Mormon and listening to this, or if you have friends who are successful Mormon men, then please send them my way. I want to talk to them. But I am somewhat stuck in that one as well, because it's difficult to make some of those projects happen the way that you need them to happen. I will get it done, but it's been tough. The interviews I've done have been amazing, but it's been tough. So here I am stuck, wondering when something's going to shake loose with all this money I've dumped in and all this time. So I wanted to bring it up here because I know that being stuck sucks. And I know that most faith-based men sit in their church pews or their church chairs stuck. They go to a 9-to-5 they hate. They go to a 9-to-5 that they would have, if they had the choice 20 years ago, knowing what they know now, would have never stepped into. They feel vanilla at church, meaning there's no passion, there's just teaching. They appreciate the teaching, they appreciate the fellowship, and then they go back to doing what they were doing. And quite honestly, for some of us, doing nothing, moving nowhere is worse than going backwards. Christian men today live in fear of risking family, fear of taking a risk, fear of what others might think, fear of what might be said, fear of going to jail, fear. Take your pick. Men are afraid. Afraid. And as a result, the church is dying. I've said it many times, what would the world look like if faith-based men with conviction and passion stepped into lawyer roles, stepped into doctor roles, stepped into political roles? It would change the face of everything. In Psalm chapter 13, actually, it's a short chapter, so. Psalm chapter 13, oh, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Let me back up and start that again. Psalms 13, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God, enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have entrusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And this was by David. So in the first couple of verses, how long will you forget me, Lord? How often do we feel that way? How often do we feel as though we have been forgotten and left to the side? How often do we feel that the Lord is not answering our prayers? And I would remind you that a no is indeed an answer. So that leads to, well, what do we do when we think we have a no? Okay, remember, you're supposed to pray believing and move in that direction. Sometimes it's not a no. Sometimes it's a delayed answer from God in the fact that he wants to see how much you want it. He wants to see how serious, how passionate you are about it. Are you willing to do anything to make it happen? Verses 5 and 6, I want to point out that he's like, Lord, have you forgotten me? But in verses 5 and 6, I have trusted, I shall rejoice, I will sing to the Lord. David expects blessing and he expects guidance. In the first half, how long will you forget me? That is stuck. He feels stuck. Nothing's happening here, God. Have you forgotten about me? I'm still here. But he knows in his heart and in his mind that I have trusted, I shall rejoice, I will sing to the Lord. Like I said, he expects blessing and he expects guidance. Because that is who God is. In Isaiah chapter 41, in verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So he says right there, don't fear. Right? I will strengthen you. I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Being stuck makes us as men feel helpless. Makes us wonder if it's worth doing. We live in a society now that has instant gratification. If I want a cup of coffee, I stop and I get a cup of coffee, no matter how I want it. If I'm bored, all I got to do is get on my phone, get on my iPad, my laptop, on my TV. The average attention span of people is 7 seconds. It's no wonder men feel stuck. If it doesn't happen this week, then suddenly they feel they're failing. You know the old saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. Certain things, if the internet went out tomorrow, it wouldn't change what needs to be done. It wouldn't change that we need to feed each other, that we need to house each other, that we need to, or ourselves. Don't get any socialist ideas from me. I'm not socialist. But it doesn't change the fact that those needs still exist. Would we be stuck then? No, we would know exactly what needs to be done. Food, shelter, safety. Yeah? But that's not the world we live in. So here are the questions I want you to ask yourself. Do you indeed have the Spirit? I mean, we're talking, I work with faith-based men all the time, all right? And we all have different convictions about how we get to heaven, okay? But one thing I think most will agree on is that you have to have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, okay? Do you have the Spirit? If you're sitting as a faith-based man and you're calling yourself Christian, do you have the Spirit? Do you, as a stuck Christian male, are you legitimately in the kingdom? Romans 8:9. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if indeed, ask yourself, am I truly who I need to be? Many men sit in churches and aren't truly Christian, let's be honest. aren't truly God-fearing even. They're raised that way. They work with it because it's what they know. The things that you think, are they because you think them or because somebody told you to? I've always told my sons, never ever take my word for it. Always double check it. Never take the preacher's word for it. Always double check it. That preacher and myself and other men, we can't get the other person into heaven. We can only get ourselves there. We must make sure that what we believe and what we live is in line with Scripture and not in line with the preacher, not in line with the elders, not in line with Scripture. Because we answer to God, we don't answer to them. They are only there as guides. Are you prayerful? Have you truly taken it to God in prayer, or do you just sit there and whine and complain? God, have you forgotten me? Come on. I prayed about this once. Are you the squeaky wheel? Are you taking it to God and really thinking about it? And when you take it to God, is it for you? Or is it to build the kingdom? And have you actually taken steps toward your goal? Or are you waiting for God to open things up so you can take steps? The Lord helps those who help themselves. Does it say that in Scripture? No, but it's pretty easy to show. Are you actively taking steps toward your goal? Is your hang-up, your stuckness, because you truly don't know what to do next or because you fear what to do next? There are small things in every goal that we have that we know we can do today. Well, Mike, I don't want to do that until I know what this step is. Sometimes it's better to just take the step. Move toward the goal. Do what you know needs to be done. If you know what the goal is and you know what needs to be done, get it on paper, backtrack it, and identify the things you know for a fact need to happen. And move and make mistakes. Remember, a mistake is not always a sin, okay? Make mistakes, learn what you need to learn, and the Lord will begin to open those answers up for you. And like I said, is what you're doing building the kingdom? Is what you're doing building the kingdom? And there are many ways you can interpret that, and I'm going to leave that one to you. So, do you truly have the Spirit? Are you prayerful? Are you actually taking steps toward your goal? And is it building the kingdom? Are you expecting God to do all the heavy lifting? It's not how it works on this planet. The Lord will open doors for you that we could not open ourselves. But we have to carry the luggage through the door. We have to do the work. We have to get to where He can open the door for us. Mike, how can you say these things when you yourself are stuck? It's a good question. There are huge steps I've had to take to get to where I'm at right now. And there are other huge steps I will have to take. To be perfectly honest, I've read so many self-help books that, I've read a lot of books. And they all have great things to say. And I have no doubt that most of us have all of the answers we need already. We've heard it. We've heard it preached. We've heard it talked about. We've read it. But for whatever reason, we haven't managed to link all those things together in our brain. But we all know we should be prayerful. So what am I going to do about it? I'm going to put it more to prayer. I can tell you right now that I know that what I'm doing is going to build the kingdom. I know that I have the Spirit. I can prove it. I know that I'm trying to move towards my goals. I know that like I said, it's building the kingdom, and but I don't know that I have put enough prayer towards it. And that's what I'm going to actively start doing. We walk this walk together, guys. If indeed the Spirit dwells in you, we walk this walk together. We cannot help others by pretending to be something we're not. And I'm not going to sit here. Do I have a lot of things figured out? Yeah, I do, quite honestly. I'm not going to lie about it. That's not arrogant. It's not pompous. You have to know who you are. Christ knew who he was. You have to know who you are. But do I have it all figured out? No. And do I expect to do it by myself? The church was not designed for mankind to accomplish everything by himself. One man can change the world, but it usually has to happen with a group. That one man inspires the group, and together they change the world. There was Christ, and there was what? His apostles, who then made disciples, who then, do you see what I'm saying? We remain stuck because we choose to. But today, we can choose not to. So I want to thank everybody for coming. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you're on YouTube or Facebook, there's my wave to everybody. If you're listening on the podcast, on your favorite podcast platform, I appreciate that. But if you've watched one or listened to one and you want to see it on the other, you can find us on pretty much any podcast platform out there now. Our home platform is Anchor, but our podcast goes out to all of the platforms. So you can listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. You can also contact me through Instagram, through Facebook, through YouTube. And you can email me at mike@thesedatedman.com. That's mike@thesedatedman.com. The show notes, as always, will be on patreon.com/thesedatedman. If for some reason you go to the Patreon page and you're looking through the links, there's a ton of tools there, a ton of things to help men be better men. If one of those links does not work, please let me know and I will get it changed or taken off. I want to make sure everything is on there. I don't always have time to go through all the links like I would like to double check. But if you come across one that's not working, please let me know. I am also available for public speaking, and I'm going to start building some classes that will only be available on Patreon, such as how to teach a class in a church or how to preach in church, somewhat of a smaller version of, it's a smaller speaking class for those who don't want to speak maybe in the community, but would like to do more within their own congregations. So if those things interest you, please hit me up on email. Otherwise, you guys have a great day. Go forth and conquer.